board, whatever you can do to help.
You need to talk to after. Okay, what do you do to?
I just go on a simple.
Pretty good.
Wouldn't they pour a couple of coolers up there where the house is on?
I didn't go up, so I don't know, did they?
Water's what people out on the roof are doing.
112, and that was 112.
I had it on 112. I tried to call Rod.
Saturday morning.
I'm sending you.
No, you're good, you're good.
Oh, yeah, we need one more.
You want one? I brought my own.
Oh, I think they're good. Anybody want minutes to the meeting?
Are we ready with the?
Yeah, I started recording.
Great. Welcome, everybody, to the June 10th, 2019, meeting of the 12 Valley Rural Planning Organization, beginning at 1:35 p.m. At the Little City Hall, large conference room. And why don't we go around the room and do introductions, make sure everybody knows each other. I'm Wayne Benyon with the Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Pat Kegelis, Green Construction.
Kim Quazin, Tula County Health, Active Transportation.
Kendall Thomas, Tula County Commissioner.
Jamie Swearin, Agent Director.
Sissy Martin, Tula County Transportation. Debbie Wynn, Tula City Mayor.
Jim Bolster, Tula City Community Development.
Bob Hanson, Tula City Engineering.
Kip Billings, Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Lisa Zendel, UDOT Region 2 Traffic Operations Engineer.
Brad Farnsworth, Region 2 Planning Manager.
Tom Tripp, Tula County.
Grant Marshall, Transit City.
Great. Again, welcome. Appreciate everybody being here. Any comments on the March 11th meeting minutes?
Yes, she was spelling my name.
Serious?
T-O-M is Tom.
Got it. Sorry about that.
My mind was spelled as well. It's T-O-M.
Good grief. We've got a.
I already signed up some sheet. I appreciate that, though.
You're really confident. Any other comments?
Let's do it, sir.
Thank you. Apologize for that. We will make those corrections and do our best to not misspell names going forward. All right. With that, any of the elected officials care to make a motion on the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Great. Thank you. And all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Well, with that, as you're all aware, so what I'd like to do is just briefly review the process for developing the Tula Valley Transportation Plan over the past several years. And if you've seen the maps and the maps of highway phasing and the maps of active transportation projects and the one pager on transit, the transit element of the plan. If you'd like, I would be happy to circulate those around again, but if you've already got enough copies of those, then I'll forbear. But what are your brothers? Would you like to have a copy in front of you as you as we call for action on this, or have you seen it enough times that you're comfortable with how circulated? What's that? Okay. So for those that would like a hard copy in front of them, feel free to, maybe I'll start on this side. One copy's on each side. Yeah, I don't know who supplied the printer with paper this time. It's nicer than usual. So as you're aware, this plan consists of highway projects and active transportation or bike route projects, as well as an outline of the central element of the plan and modeling analysis was done a few years back. There's been input from local governments, UDOT and UTA, and you'll recall just last January and February, a 30-day public comment period in which some valuable comments were given and which comments will be evaluated in more depth as corridor studies or environmental studies are conducted on various projects in the plan. And so I think a couple advantages of having this plan, in, well, a few advantages among many. One, this plan certainly helps build awareness of some of the transportation needs in the valley. And two, lines things up for further study and evaluation and potentially for funding as well by having a cohesive, coordinated, unified plan across the valley. And we've seen evidence of that with some of the projects that are moving forward. And so, with that brief introduction, any comments or other discussion that the group would like to have as before we ask for a motion on this, approving this plan?
Well, Wayne, in Grantsville, there's a lot of controversy over this depot fence line. I still think that it's a valuable corridor to be considered. The master plan also showed 9 Green Street tying into 112 and the Mormon Trail.
The Grantsville City Plan.
Yeah. Which would put it like right, basically right here. And it's supposed to, as development goes, supposed to, they're protecting that corridor.
Okay.
But when that corridor would ever open up is a good guess. And I know that when Mayor Dunleavy and I had a discussion about this line here, it was supposed to tie into 36, and I see that there's a road drawn there, which would be down there by where the Home Depot was. And so this one here should have tied in here to 36.
Okay. And I believe the reason that that is drawn like this is simply to allow for the existing road that's there, but we can certainly make that
just check on it, I guess,
more clear. So thank you.
Not that this matters, because there's still a lot to do, but on the bicycle route freezing, you can put a green line for gravel.
Yes.
Sorry. It's okay, but I don't know anybody else.
No, that's the beauty of
instead of the red line.
The beauty of the plan is that it continues to evolved, so.
Yeah.
Very good.
Actually, Stansbury Parkway. Or no, so I apologize. Village Boulevard.
Is already striped.
It's striped, yeah. So they have two sections.
You know, and just point of bicycle lanes and striping. We were shocked in the county to hear how much striping costs and how often that is. Just the Village Boulevard is going to take 1/6 of the total county striping budget just for.
Just for Village Boulevard?
Just for Village Boulevard.
Wow.
So that's how expensive it is. So it is not a casual thing just to mark out a bike lane. Hmm. Just the maintenance on that is a substantial money.
Oh,
good to know.
And I'm going to do the striping for crosswalks for school districts and that. It's a chunk of change.
That's good.
Christopher Chestnut with UDOT is putting these into the long range plan with the modeling effort. He's on the model that will show which one of some of these it says, I guess, which ones are shown as more needed than others are needed. At least from the modeling perspective. So that's, this should be, they're going through a phasing. He could be a better speak to where they are as far as developing that long range river model, but they have that part of the model looking at from a demands perspective of some of these roads showing the widening that's needed for new construction and others that it's not as needed. So.
Let's maybe make a comment, Wayne. I went to the full length of the public meeting or hearing or review, and the two that garnered the most comment were, which is noted here in the notes, was B and F. The boundary division, just the people from the South Rural Development were just adamantly opposed to that. They said, I've got a nice quiet background, backyard, and I can put a four-lane highway through the back of my yard. Where's that going to connect, and who's going to get on that lane thing anyway? And so there's a lot of opposition to that one. And on the Ochre Expressway, the concept wasn't in trouble, but the way the concept line was drawn went through a couple of people's lots, and they were upset about it. I said, no, no, it's a concept. They said, if it's on the paper, someone is thinking that. I want them to know that's not what we're going to do.
Well, the boundary on the depot fence was never proposed as a four-lane road. It was only a two-step path.
I just the comments, Brad.
It was just clarification.
Thank you. Good clarifications. So I think this is still a concept or a discussion, and open to modification and see where the thing takes us.
Exactly. Any additional comments or questions?
Does someone that's kind of newer, what was the process for coming up with these roads? This is a quick overview of how we got here.
So it was literally a combination of modeling analysis to begin with, and then input from local governments and UDOT and ETA, and then the public comment period, and those three elements.
Okay. And how long is that process?
And I believe it was initiated in 2013 or 14. There were a couple of things that slowed the process down. One was the consensus among the RPO members that they wanted to incorporate the updates to the Tooele County general plan. Prior to adopting this, and then there was also some discussion on how 201 would tie in at the 201 extension, how it would tie in at the west end. But kind of caused this to take some more time. So, certainly, as with all plans, all good plans, this will receive additional updates as time goes on.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you need a motion to proceed here, Wayne? Is that what you're hoping to hear?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, if that's who you are.
No, asked by the RPO to conduct the meeting.
Mr. RPO, lay us on. I move that we proceed with the drafted diagrams of roads and trails for certain evaluation and advice and recommendations.
I'll second. Good. Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? I will take that as an approval of the plan.
Yes.
As stated. So, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That'll stand approved. Thank you. All right. Yes, we'll look forward to moving discussion forward on several projects. So, with that, I noticed that Juan is not here yet. Grant, Lisa, do either of you know if she's planning on making them?
I think she's out of town this week. I went over to her office and somebody said she was out all week. Okay. So.
All right. Any info? I believe, I don't know if the group is, if everybody in the group is already aware, but I believe the Valley Highway was advertised last month sometime. Is that correct?
Yes.
Any other additional information that you've heard on that?
How long does that go out for advertisement?
So, good question.
Typically it's 3 weeks. I don't know if Juan was looking to be longer on that one or not, because I believe it has some digital plans and stuff with it that we may be giving the contractor some additional time. I apologize, I don't know for sure.
I think it's the 27th.
Of June?
Yeah.
The bid's open?
The bid opens.
So that'll go out for 3 weeks at least, and maybe a bit longer.
Well, what day did you mention? I think it's June 27th, right, currently.
And all things are closed.
Those are
closed.
So that's awarded.
Yeah,
awarded.
Yeah.
So that's the construction area looking for bids to build it to these specs, is that right?
Correct.
Construction bid.
Yeah, when I contacted her about it 2 weeks ago, she said she was expecting construction to start August, September, depending on when the contractor gets their contracting papers done and their proposed schedule. So, obviously, things are still being worked out as the contractors actually selected. This is an idea of ballpark in that period.
Are they 2 years for construction?
That's right.
The first year is primarily first year ish is primarily settlement.
Yeah, surcharging and all of that.
Yeah, just waiting.
Any other questions we should take back to Juan on McDonald? All right, hearing none, we'll give Patrick some time here.
We're still, surcharge is still ongoing there. Getting close, but the surcharge is still settling there at 36. So we're just monitoring the results weekly. And as you can see, the bridge is just about done. We're pulling the approach slabs on each, on the north end where the surcharge has been done. The south side, we're still waiting on that. And then I-80, we're still waiting on UPRR permits, approvals. So
if you extrapolate the data, what's your guess on how long the surcharge has to go?
Well, I don't even guess on that stuff.
I don't have a Ouija board.
I don't know that.
It's getting really close. It's getting really close, but it's just right now I think they're just waiting for the to just kind of the curve to kind of just continue on the way it is, and we'll probably get it. But sometimes you get a jump in the readings, and puts it off for a couple weeks or a month or whatever, so.
Okay.
Wish it was more of an exact science, but.
Questions, comments for Pat?
Do you want to talk about the southbound? You want to widen on the?
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah. From we are, I've seen it, but we're widening 36 south of the bridge there. It kind of starts at the McDonald's and heads south for, I'd say, roughly a mile. I don't know the exact distance. We've been working on it. We're going to pave it end of this week, beginning of next week. That'll be the asphalt widening. And then sometime in August, we'll come back and do a mill and overlay on the whole section over there.
So it's adding the lane right now?
It won't add a lane right now. It'll just add the lane. In August, it'll add a lane. Yeah, but currently we're just doing the widening, and then when we come back into the mill and overlay, it'll add a lane.
Okay. So there'll be three lanes going in front of McDonald's?
Yes, that's correct.
So the reason why that was.
It'll make it easier to get in and out of McDonald's, sir.
It was make so that so people can get through Saddleback without backing onto the freeway. That's really the congestion southbound to be able to get past there, and so they can get through there, get around semi, so slowing down, and then it merges back into two lanes.
But still, only two lanes coming over the overpass, and then it will go into three.
Yeah,
at about.
It's about probably what Hardy Road or McDonald's
okay.
Where it
okay.
Switches to three.
Okay.
Well.
I'm a little confused. The pinch point is exit 99, and I know we're trying to get around that. I don't see how we're going to leave any traffic congestion. Maybe I'm not understanding the big picture.
There's a couple of concepts, if I may, and Pat, Grant, Lisa, feel free to correct me if I'm getting it wrong. But first of all, adding the westbound, which Juan is also the PM for this project, which won't go to construction until 2020, summer of 2020-ish. But adding a westbound auxiliary lane, extending, you know, the lane where 201 comes into 80 westbound, extending that lane all the way to the view area or
all the way to 36.
Okay, all the way to 36.
To the off ramp.
So the traffic coming from 201 that wants to get off at 99 won't have to merge on and merge back off or exit back off. They can just stay in that lane. And so that will reduce what's called weaving movements between lanes. Between 201 and 99. So that's one concept that should, you know, it might not solve everything, but it should make a significant difference in terms of helping with the traffic congestion.
So they could exit off on the new Mid-Valley or continue in Grantsville or remain?
So the two lanes on I-80 will remain, and those will act more as through lanes and have less traffic moving between back and forth between them as presently. So that's one concept. The other concept is the three lanes southbound, and yes, it's a temporary three lanes, or meaning it doesn't go I don't know how far past Saddleback it goes, but it goes farther. My understanding is it goes farther than the usual merge back in. So that having that third lane will allow more traffic. You know, there will still be a bottleneck, or it'll drop from three lanes to two lanes before reaching Mills Junction, but it will still allow more traffic to move through. And by doing that, it will make it so that the traffic is not as likely to back up onto the freeway. There will be more storage
so to speak, with three lanes rather than two for about a mile-ish.
So, has there been a study of how many accidents are there?
Yeah, there have. We have some countermeasures about that we'd like to, I mean, that have been proposed and been kind of shut down. Medians and other countermeasures.
Because also, the North Tula Fire District is some of the first responders there, and those are some of your first responders on I-80 as well. The taxes for those come from unincorporated area, and so I just have concerns with more accidents along that way. Every year, North Tula Fire District has to up their costs.
So with the congestion being relieved, the idea is that there would be less accidents because there's not as much congestion. And so that would be a benefit to that because of the crashes would decrease. And so that's the benefit of having these projects go in, is being able to have three lanes. You're able to increase your capacity through that bottleneck. And you're also able to add your storage, so there's decreasing weaving, so people aren't slamming on their brakes and have secondary crashes that happen. So yeah, that would be a big benefit.
Yeah.
To
the problem is people leaving Chevron and McDonald's, they're trying to get across the two lanes right now to get on I-80. That lies the problem there, is they're trying to get across the two lane traffic to go down the freeway.
Yeah.
Is there any way like that, okay, they could pull into Chevron and they could pull into McDonald's? But I know UDOT owns the property south of McDonald's. Couldn't people pull into McDonald's and Chevron, but then there'd be a road behind McDonald's that would route over to the freeway exit that goes to Saddleback, so they can't exit McDonald's or Chevron, except for going behind them and over to the Saddleback exit? Does that make sense? Because that's the problem, is they're trying to get across that traffic to get back on the freeway.
Problem. Yeah, that's a big problem.
And the thing is if, you know, they can pull in, because you don't want Chevron and McDonald's upset that they can't, but then they can't exit and go out onto the road. They would have to go the back way over to the stoplight.
Yeah, but I think that's something I think we have our safety meeting coming up this week.
I assume you have rules of what happens on the off-ramp.
We do.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's something we could always consider.
And the road would cross a wetland, so that increases the cost.
Completely understand. I just think that three lanes, people are still going to be crazy enough to try to turn left there.
Oh, if they can, they try.
Brought up the subject of maybe putting some kind of a median where you couldn't pull across there, but that was shot down.
That's one of the things over the years we've looked at, and it's never been accepted well,
but
because of the lack of access.
Yeah.
For the business.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if
so,
it's usually more of a local decision of what if those
what it comes down to.
Included or not, if it's more.
Yeah, there's lives already been lost there, so I think you would
Yeah, it's something we strongly advocate for. But we, so if there's a sentiment that has changed among the jurisdictions, then we'd be happy to push that forward.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry.
It'd be cheaper to build another McDonald's on the east side of the road and put a median in.
Exactly. Amen.
So was it UDOT's decision to make that decision, or
we,
the political?
Ultimately, it's our decision because it is our highway.
Mm-hmm.
But we do take the input from the local jurisdictions into account.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize, I haven't worked in Tooele County for quite a while. But I know last time I was involved in one of these discussions, there was a preference not to do that because of the damage it could potentially do to the business income.
Did it in TA.
Because, yeah, it would not only restrict less coming out of the businesses on the west side, but restrict less into all the businesses on the east side as well.
Right.
So. All right.
Thank
tough
you.
One.
Yes.
Oh,
Any other questions, comments for Pat? Appreciate the update. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Wanted to just briefly initiate some discussion on near-term priorities so that we can, and if you want to have, do a little brainstorming today, if you want. If not, we'll have more in-depth discussion at the next meeting, but wanted to hear your thoughts on priorities for upcoming highway transit bicycle projects.
He said you were dead.
Wow.
So any ideas that people would like to raise for this group to start thinking about in terms of obviously we've got the area corridor study that UDOT is working on garnering or gathering some funding to initiate. So we've got that study coming up. We've also got the transit feasibility study that Levi Roberts with UTA has discussed with most, if not all, of the members of this group. But in addition to those, which both of which, or at least the transit study is likely to identify some transit near-term priorities. I don't know if the Northeast Area Corridor study is anticipated to identify some short-term things in addition to the long-term.
But yeah, that's definitely, whatever we do studies are trying to do short-term benefits, but they make sure that they tie to the long-term vision of the corridors or area.
Now this is for biking, right?
This is for both active transportation and road.
Okay. I know I'm trying to work with UTA on the sound wall and on the bike route. Obviously, it's not listed out by its name, but I don't know if you know where the sound wall is on SR-36.
Oh, closer to the right away.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's at least, how many transit stops are on that road?
Coming into Tula?
How many UTA stops?
UTA stops are on that, and you guys have shuttle service on there too.
Coming in from Stansbury?
Just stops themselves along that front edge road in Stansbury. There's quite a few bus stops.
So you're talking about coming down by the university and the...
No, by Stansbury, by the fire station. Isn't there quite a few?
Yeah, so you have your park and ride, and then you have in front of the university.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have one by the high school, so there's probably four.
Yeah, and that's along the bike route, so we're hoping to see if we could get some first and last mile funding for that to help get that bike route going. So I don't know if, and I haven't, who's the new coordinator with that? Because it was Jacob Slam before. Who's with UT now that, you know, I've talked to him. I have his card.
I'm not sure.
Okay, so anyway, we'll be working with them on that to see if we could anywhere along that corridor, so over by where the park and ride is at. The underpass that's going under State Route 138, they're waiting for a Sprint. Sprint doesn't have a contract with the local.
Well, the latest is on that is that Sprint's come back and offered to go 50-50. We're countering offering, let's go 25-75 if you got the 75.
based on expert advice.
Okay. Coolio.
I think I can take it.
But that also is hopefully to help people get over to the UTA to ride their bikes over to the UTA park or park and ride instead of, you know, so we're hoping to try to get a little bit more people to be able to use that corridor to park and ride instead of driving.
Do you ride a bike through that passage?
Through the underpassage?
Yeah.
Of course. Who? Why wouldn't you?
Have a narrow little tube there, you ride a bike through passenger, through pedestrians. That seems safe to you?
I think that's what the plan was for, is to have
bikes. If we put stripes on it.
Go through it, yeah. Yeah, we're hoping kids use it as a bike path because they're crossing State Road 138 right now and we want them to use that instead. Yeah, that's considered sort of the Stansbury bike and walking path, was to use that. That's actually how the CMAP funding was available for that first.
I'll go look at the design. That seems...
Yeah, proper lighting.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what that was kind of the hopes for. So anyway, we're looking at UT funding for that. And then safe routes to school funding. I'm actually got a meeting with Elaine Pitt this week. So safe routes school maps that they have right now with the district have not been updated since 2012. On State Route 138, when that stoplight was put in over there, that was with help with the school being put over there. And sort of the
Which location on 138?
So it's kind of where...
There is a school now right here.
Oh, okay.
So you see where that asterisk is? So kind of north of that,
yeah.
138. There's a stoplight there now with pedestrian buttons.
Okay.
But that's the school district's job, put the safe routes together.
Correct. So I am working with them to kind of coordinate a little bit better because we've got a problem right now. On SR 112, students are supposed to, for Clark Johnson, they're supposed to walk across 112 to go over to the schools, but the Safe Routes School program, or the Safe Routes School maps that the school district has doesn't show them as a walking route, and they're not far enough away from Clark Johnson to take the bus.
How far north is Clark Johnson?
I know.
2200, 2100.
That's 10 blocks away from 112.
But
10 blocks.
But kids are walking. That neighborhood's walking.
Yeah.
So anyway, I talked to Alice or Andrea with UDOT. She's your signal. And so anyway, we'll be working with Dolan Pitt and looking at where they actually want the walking route. She said if they put their walking route, if that's the way they're supposed to walk, then we can probably apply for safe routes to school and try to see if we can get a stoplight in there. But there's also talk of a stoplight being put in there. Is that soon?
2000 North?
On SR 112 by Lake 6 West.
No.
So they got kids walking that far along that route?
What neighborhood they come from? Overlake?
No, they're coming from...
Overlake would be right in.
Overlake is the destination.
Yeah.
That's the development.
There's little townhouses over there in a little park.
Yeah.
Glen Eagles
is the development. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the problem is there was some road closures for going over to North Lake, so they can't... They have to go all the way around to go over to North Lake, isn't that right? Because they closed down...
There is no road crossing there. Yeah, the railroad closed that 15 plus years ago.
Yeah, so the parents, they can elect to.
Yeah.
The thing I'm saying is I have a group of parents that say they have a problem. So they contacted me.
So where are they starting from, Kim, these group of parents of yours?
They are starting on the south side of 112.
Okay, right. Which west?
Approximately, it would be 6 West.
So Glen Eagles.
So they're going all the way from here, all the way over to there?
Yeah.
Why don't you just take a path through the field then?
You don't have any traffic.
Probably don't have.
It'd be nice.
It's going to be under development shortly.
You know? Right.
It seems like that development should make the way they have that aspect. I'm trying to force it the way that's
on the trail.
I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to address something that the kids are walking across the state route right now, and I had some parents ask for help.
Tell them to walk their kids across it.
What's the busing threshold distance?
It's 2 miles for a junior high and a high school.
A mile from grade school, a mile and a half.
But regardless, you're having children try to go over to baseball games, trying to go over across the state route. That's the problem.
Yeah, definitely get those routing maps updated. It opens up a lot more options for the department.
So I just wanted to let you know, we're going to update them, that that is a problem that's being asked by a group of parents to look out, and that there is some safety issues there in that intersection as well, just with some dips, turning, there's no turning lane, things like that. I know that future development, I don't know how soon Twilla City is going to update some of those.
Update what?
That area with some of the development over there. Is that?
I'm foggy with what you're wanting the city to update.
I've heard some rumors that that intersection is going to be updated.
That intersection is the property of UDOT. Yeah.
The other sides of it.
Still, all entrances to that is controlled by UDOT.
Yeah, they control all the legs to it.
Yeah, they control all the legs to the intersection, so we wouldn't be able to do anything but bring a road to their legs.
Okay. Oh, that's okay.
And then they'll only put a light in when it meets warrants. So if we're ready to request a warrant study, I think that's something that UDOT in the past has always been amenable to doing,
right,
to look at it and see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be the first step.
The problem with doing a warrant study now is if there's no pedestrians crossing and the traffic volumes don't warrant, it wouldn't warrant.
Exactly.
But if it's a school route, it opens up some other things for us. That's why we need the maps updated.
So we are looking at, they are looking at, I'm meeting with her Wednesday, and they're looking at updating them the end of July.
Okay.
So I just wanted to let everybody be aware.
And this is not your round school, right? So
yeah.
Something, okay.
Yeah. So just so you're aware. So there is the possibility of looking at the alternative transportation funding and the safe routes to school funding. And I'm actually going to meet with Rochelle. Or is it Rachel?
Mm-hmm.
I always say it wrong, Rochelle. Yeah, so I'm meeting with her about the funding too. So anyway, just to let you know about some of the biking walking paths.
Now we can mention those on full cities.
Correct.
So Rochelle won't have any jurisdiction there.
Well, we are working together on some different ones in the county.
Okay.
Because of what we want to apply for and then what the city wants to apply for, because it's competitive, so we don't want to compete with each other. Because we've applied for the grants in the past. I've applied for it twice. Melania applied for it. Jerry Houghton applied for it. Twill City applied for it through Melania, and we never received it. So we just want to make sure that we try to apply for it.
You're talking about the TAP grants or?
Cross to School and then the Transportation Alternative Grant, yeah. So kind of looking at that. And yeah, it is Twilla City, but I'm a county person and I help cities too.
When we received that grant, numbers was one of the biggest things that they looked at. The number of households that had children to go there. We drew all that stuff right into our maps when we did that. Just a heads up to get that. And the safe routes to school, we had the school district update Grantsville a long time ago. So we certainly ought to they ought to look at all of the schools rather than individually doing each one. But that's a big, and then connectivity is another thing that UDOT looked very heavily at. So even if you have to phase that two or three times, look at it that way. The projects, once they get over about $250,000, you're in the hole. They won't do it.
And the reason why the Twilla Valley pathway goes the route it goes is because of schools. There is people, children, students, at Overlake that are to attend Stansbury High School. And so we wanted a safe route if they decided to take a bike to school, that they could ride it safely to school. And that's what they so needed to do, you know, if they don't have any, I mean, yes, there's buses, but I mean, there's after school programs that they probably would like to attend. And so anyway, that's why we put the pathway the way it is it was just closest to schools. The junior high is going to be down that way, so who knows how we'll split up then. But that's why it was put that way. So anyway, but I just wanted to make everybody aware that I was looking into working on that, looking at ways we can, bless you, help that area. And so anyway, we'll be looking at that, and then we'll probably update with UDOT their safe routes to school. That was how we got the SR-138 light in, was we did 3 pedestrian studies, and then we worked with the school to, so, and we appreciated that. So thank you. We really appreciated that.
And you have all the information you need for the safe routes and the transportation alternative grant stuff?
We've applied for it in the past, okay. Yeah, so, but thank you, yeah.
I was just going to say, we could give you Amber Mortensen's contact information if you needed more, because she's over for the region.
Okay, thank you. So that's what we're kind of working on, with trying to get some more routes. We won't talk about 36, but I would like, some ways for people to get across to at least, another problem there is Bates Canyon. The kids that are east of Bates Canyon, they're supposed to walk to Stansbury High School.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're supposed to walk across State Road 36 because they're within
the
2 miles.
There is a signal now at Bates Canyon, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not for pedestrians, though. It's yeah, there's a...
But there's no push buttons and stuff.
Yeah, but the kids are supposed to walk across that.
How many of them have been traveling across that?
There's actually quite a few. In fact, a lot of the athletic programs for the high school, like the cross-country teams and track and field teams, actually send their kids running that direction across the highway as part of their training. They do that.
So they get up in the foot hills too?
Well, basically what they, as I understand, is what they do is they have them run a lap in Stansbury itself and then go up to Drewby and back to the high school to get their distances. But I see them running there several times a week.
Mm-hmm. Come to Bates Canyon or Fort Canyon at 8 o'clock when I'm leaving for work every morning, and there's kids running. There's people bicycling, yeah, and they're going across the state.
The Mills Junction one, that stoplight works fairly well.
It does.
But the Bates Canyon one, yeah, I think that would be a little more.
That one, yeah.
That one's got a, Bates Canyon has a fairly short east-west light as well. The green going east-west is pretty short.
Yeah,
I was going to say, it's a good thing they're runners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Bates Canyon, in my experience, Bates Canyon is the shortest east-west green along 36.
Oh, I've almost gotten hit driving through it because it changes.
Yeah, it changes quick. You only get maybe 2 cars out of the intersection before it goes yellow.
Well, if you don't have push buttons,
yeah,
you get those.
Yeah. My opinion, the timing is really good because it's pretty shorty.
That would be good for additional research and discussion. So, thank you. In the interest of time, want to give Juan some time to
give
your points on Mid Valley Highway
and I-80
winding through. Westbound, and even if you have more information on the undercrossing, that's fine.
So we just had a pre-bid with the contractors this morning for Mid Valley. We had very good turnout, 7 prime contractors showed up. And they had some really big questions, so that's why I was busy trying to get all that stuff resolved for them in an addendum to this afternoon. Anyway, so I am giving them, because there's a lot of information, we're going to have to give them extra time with it, so bid opening now is July. Still anticipating construction to be beginning of August-ish. The 401 permit, 404 permit with the Army Corps, it's being circulated for signature. I'm expecting it any day now. So it's out of the local office, it's at the national office. So so that, we'll get it before the construction starts. Right now, we are condemnation of two parcels left. One, I believe, is going to give us a right of entry really soon. It's just they're arguing the cost. That's a 6 mile ranch. The other one is with Skywalk. And they're having heartburn about accesses onto 138 and Sheep Lane. What their development's allowed to do and not allowed to do. So they don't like having, we end up condemning them because we need a UNEB, a petroleum line, to relocate to the south side where the front of their development is. So critical path wise, I need them out of the way really fast. So construction, we've been watching BlackRock to see how long their settlement period is, so we're extending our estimate from 9 months to 12 months. But we don't think it's going to last 12 months, which gives the contractor a little bit more leeway on how to bid. So it takes the pressure when we start and finish construction. It just means it's 2 full years, it might go to 2.5 years. We don't think so, but anyway. Today, the major questions that came out of the pre-bid was stabilizing the ground out there.
Yes,
because the ground has been really wet. So our soil report, just when we took the measurements, was a couple years ago when it was drier. Now we're really worried about getting in there and sinking all their equipment. So
on the 1984, when they're raising the interstate because of the rising lake level, they reached their maximum height right there because their foundation wouldn't hold anymore. So the coast shared that deep spot. Whatever it is, they're about ready to reroute the interstate through Grantsville. Because we couldn't go any higher. Build a siding foundation and support.
So we are just adjusting how we're going to allow them in payment.
92 is not that bad of a spot. But I'm thinking between 92 and 88, though, is that bad of a spot.
And I think we're going to allow them to extra funds to the water as well this year. So that's the status of Mid Valley. Any other questions? As for I-80 winding westbound, that's on schedule. We're struggling with weather as well. We had geotechs go out there and collect samples and whatnot. It's been struggling with that wet condition. Also, we found some contamination. Aside from slide, we're shortening the project limit to go from the pullout area southwest. So we won't be doing the portion from 201 to the pullout area, because that's the area that would be the most costly. We have a lot of stabilizing issues winding into the lake, basically, and also there's contamination. I don't afford to touch right now.
So don't go fishing in that little pond there. I didn't say that loud.
Fishing's great, just don't eat anything you catch.
Sorry.
Guys, three eyes are closed, just leave alone.
It could be natural, I mean, it could just be oil, actual natural oil from the other ones or something. We never, yeah, when I found that, I'm like, oh, okay, I don't have enough money anyway, I'll just shorten it.
This will be closing the pond, right?
Yes. I have a quick question. Has the runoff water, like the way it drains there, been looked at?
Yes, it's pretty, in its natural state right now, going every which way. We will try to fix what we can, but I don't have enough money to fix it. I'd have to chase it. In order to chase it, I have to go to the eastbound too.
Okay.
And there's some wetland areas I'm trying not to disturb. Same thing with the westbound. There's some clear wind protection wetlands.
Yeah, I just went there, so it's really hard fast down course. So last Wednesday, and there was a lot of tiny water on that road that.
There's some zigzagging drainage there. We go to the median and then cross back to the west. Some cross back to the east.
Cover whatever is coming.
And so does that mean that the westbound auxiliary lane will be continuous from 201 to 99?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just that the portion from 201 to the pullout area, there would not be sufficient shoulders.
I'm with you.
And those old barriers there will have to remain.
What?
Just don't tell John.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments for Juan?
So that one, we're shooting to advertise this December, January, and construction is next summer. About July is about the best time out there to be up there.
Cool. Lots happening. Very good. Let's see. If we continue on a quarterly schedule, our next meeting would be Monday, September 9th. So, look for a majority of folks.
You'll send us that anyway?
Yes.
We'll try and cover for grants.
Unless my wife is.
Even if she's late, she's not your home.
Should be. I'll verify it, but it should be.
Those last few days.
Yeah.
Is it already?
Okay. I don't know about Paul's calendar, but I have it in there, so I'll check.
It's apparently in the calendar already, so we should be good.
All right, any other items of business? Just one thing quickly, if I may. Kim alluded to this, I think, but statewide, Safe Routes to School funding that's administered through UDOT, there's a deadline of July 19th, 5 p.m. There's only $1.2 million available statewide, so. But if you have not seen the email on that, let me know and I'll be happy to forward that to you. Any other items of business? Well, thank you very much.
I think we can do it.